Greg Peterson, I'm Jock Wilson. This is QR Calgary.
Hey, Paul Brandt here. Big skies, rugged landscapes. Now that's Alberta in a nutshell. And if you're looking for an SUV that can keep up with this place, check out the Ford Bronco. Built for those who crave adventure with serious off-road capability and style to spare. Whether you're hitting the mountain trails or exploring the back roads, it's the perfect ride for those who want to experience everything this province has to offer. The Ford Bronco. Adventure awaits at your Alberta Ford dealer. Now tell them PB sent you.
Some homes speak to you the second you see the floor plan. Others whisper, change me. At Shane Homes, you don't have to choose. Fall for a floor plan you love or customize every detail from blueprint to backyard. And this spring, we're giving you the opportunity to save your way. Keep it simple and save or go custom and save up to double the GST. Don't wait. Offer ends May 31st. Conditions apply. Find your favorite way to save at ShaneHomes.com. If it's your favorite, it's probably Shane Homes.
Calling all baseball fans. Want to knock your summer out of the park?
The Deerfoot Inn and Casino is hosting an exclusive viewing party on July 26th, where one lucky guest will win the ultimate baseball road trip. 4 games in 4 days in Toronto for you and a guest, plus round-trip air transportation, hotel accommodations, a pair of tickets to each of the 4 games, and $500 spending cash. For full details on how you can earn ballots to win your way into the viewing party on July 26th, visit DeerfootInn.com.
We're fun!
Spring into safety with Volvo Calgary. Right now, lease the 2025 XC60, where Scandinavian design meets advanced safety for just $749 a month for 48 months with only $3,100 down. Whether you're heading to the mountains or just running errands, drive with peace of mind in a luxury SUV built for Canadian roads. Visit Valentine Volvo in the Southwest, Volvo Cars Royal Oak in the Northwest, or VolvoCarsCalgary.com.
You're listening to 770 CHQR AM and 107.3 CFGQ FM Calgary, Chorus Entertainment Radio Stations.
Your place for Stampeders football play-by-play, QR Calgary.
And as we wrap things up on a Saturday night here at McMahon Stadium, Greg Peterson, maybe just some final thoughts. Actually, one final text from Steve. And Steve says, PJ Walker scares the crap out of me. Chuck and pray is not a legitimate offensive strategy. I'm not sure he'd make my team. Hey, he is going to be the backup quarterback. And as Dave Dickinson said, he is still learning the game. So I don't want to make excuses for him. He's got an NFL resume. And Vernon Adams said he's going to work with him. But I understand there might be a little concern with the couple of interceptions.
Yeah, it has been Chuck and, good things happened. And last game it did. This game it didn't. Had a pick one time and a couple of incomplete passes. But he's got the tools. So most guys, it's kind of like saying if you're going to be a good running back and you're running a 4.440, some guys run a 4.340 and they just got that tool. Some people just, no matter what, they're not going to be able to, they don't have the physical capabilities to do it. They could have all the other elements. PJ's got the physical capabilities. We just have to, as a coaching staff, teach him what to do and when to throw the ball up, when not to throw the ball up.
Again, this season, Shane Holmes is partnering with Kids Up Front in our Yards for Kids program. For every offensive yard during the regular season, Shane Holmes donates $1 to Kids Up Front. Last season, the Stamps netted 6,373 yards of offense, with Shane Holmes bumping its donation to $10,000 to the kids and Kids Up Front. Shane Holmes, if it's your favorite, it's probably Shane Holmes, Calgary's favorite home builder. I guess if there's one disappointment for me tonight, I was wondering where Damian Alford was. Number one draft pick overall. He wasn't targeted at all in this. I'm not even sure he got into. I was looking for him. I didn't see him.
Yeah, I don't even know if he got in the game.
Yeah.
No. I think Damian's kind of, again, got all the physical tools, so it's just going to take him, you said it, a lot of time to get back and learn the Canadian game, and it's pretty overwhelming at times to have all this stuff going. You have to make checks here, and so he's just got to assimilate into the Canadian game, get more confidence, because he's, again, got the 6'6", 220 pounds, runs a 4.440, can catch the ball. That just takes a little bit of experience to get better.
Yeah, fair enough. Okay, final comments as we wrap things up, Greg.
Well, as I said it three times now, we had a good preseason. And if you started the year and think, okay, where do we want to be after these 2 weeks? Can't say back then if you wanted to predict it. Can't say it could get much better. I think it's been two good games, and got to keep it rolling.
And, plays for real against the Hamilton Tiger Cats on the 7th. So, let's get it on. Like, I think everybody now is saying, let's get it on for the regular season.
Yep. Look forward to it.
That is a wrap then for the post-game show. Thank you so much for listening tonight. For Greg Peterson, Mark Steven, Lisa Hillary, I'm Jock Wilson, and we will do it for real. Don't forget, FanFest is happening next Saturday at McMahon Stadium. FanFest goes at 10 o'clock in the morning until 2. Fun family event that is open to everybody. The Stamps will officially unveil their roster at FanFest next week. Big shout out to our title sponsor tonight, the Alberta Ford Dealers. Final score one final time, 31-7. So we'll see you back here at McMahon Stadium on Saturday, June the 7th. The Stampeders kicking off the season against the Hamilton Tiger Cats. Again, that is a 5 o'clock kickoff. Our pregame show is on the air at 3:30. Don't forget, Monday night on Sports Talk with Jock, I will be joined by the coach. It's the coach's show, as I'll be joined by Stamps head coach and general manager Dave Dickinson. On behalf of the entire broadcast team, everybody behind the scenes as well, thank you so much for listening. Have a great night. Have a fantastic weekend. This is the home of the Calgary Stampeders. This is QR Calgary.
QR Calgary is the proud radio home of your Calgary Stampeders and has been for over 3 decades. Thanks for joining us on the voice of the Calgary Stampeders, QR Calgary 770 and 107.3 The Edge.
This is Global News. I'm Joshua Azizi. There are mixed signals in Ukraine. Russia launched a new wave of attacks as the largest prisoner exchange since the start of the three-year-old war got underway Saturday. Reporter Ian Pennell is in London with the details.
This is the first wave of up to 1,000 Ukrainians and 1,000 Russians expected to be swapped over the weekend. It's the result of face-to-face meetings held last week. But meanwhile, Russia launching more attacks on Ukraine. President Trump expressing hope that this prisoner exchange could lead to, quote, something big. But the Kremlin saying there are no plans right now for another face-to-face meeting with Ukraine.
Ukraine's capital of Kyiv came under a large-scale combined drone and missile attack Saturday, with explosions and machine gun fire heard throughout the city. The new minority liberal government has a stack of crime and justice policies to implement.
Some included measures aimed to make it more difficult to get bail for those charged with violent car theft, home invasion, as well as some human trafficking and smuggling offenses. The Liberals also promised to create new criminal offenses involving intimidation at schools and places of worship, as well as online sexploitation. All the promises were made during a federal election campaign which saw the Conservatives lean heavily on an anti-crime message. Rob Westgate, The Canadian Press.
The Bluewater District School Board in Ontario says the 5 people killed in a car crash Friday afternoon have been identified as high school students and a staff member. The board released a statement calling it a devastating loss for the school, local community, and the school board. Police say the victims of the crash are 4 teenage girls and a 33-year-old man who were all traveling in the same SUV. Ontario Provincial Police say the SUV collided with a transport truck and then crashed into a second SUV at an intersection just outside of London, Ontario. The BC teen who spent weeks in hospital last year sick with avian flu is speaking out against the planned cull of 400 ostriches at a farm in BC's interior. Jocelyn, who visited the farm with her family Saturday, says her blood is still being drawn by doctors to study antibodies. She questions why the same can't be done with the ostriches.
Do more research about it. Let the ostriches live so then research can be done.
The Canadian Food Inspection Agency maintains it has a duty to protect Canadians from avian flu and says the call will go ahead. Palestinian officials say at least 79 people have been killed in the latest round of Israeli strikes on Gaza. Reporter Marcus Moore says 9 of the dead are from one family.
More heartache south of Khan Yunis, where 3 airstrikes killed a pediatrician's 9 children at their home as she cared for patients at a nearby hospital. The children ranging in ages from just 7 months to 12 years old. Dr. Alaa Al-Nadr's second child and husband, also a doctor, survived but suffered critical injuries.
Israel's military says it had evacuated civilians from the area. It says, quote, the claim regarding harm to uninvolved civilians is under review. And the Cannes Film Festival has awarded its top prize to a movie from Iran.
Iranian drama It Was Just an Accident wins the prestigious Cannes Film Festival Palme d'Or trophy. 3 years ago, Iranian dissident filmmaker Jafar Panahi was in prison on a hunger strike and had been banned from leaving his country. His film is a revenge thriller, and it was picked up by Neon, which won last year for Anora. In fact, Neon Films won Cannes top prize the previous 6 years. Second prize, the Grand Prix, went to the Norwegian family drama Sentimental Value.
Oh, it's a project.
The festival got its own film-worthy ending Saturday with a brief power outage, but the red carpet was lit up in time for the awards. I'm Julie Walker.
From the Global News Desk, I'm Joshua Azizi.
Through the summer, they would sit in the summer. What does it...
This is the Ben Mulrooney Show.
On the Chorus Talk Network.
Welcome to the Ben Mulrooney Show. Thank you so much for spending this shortened week with us. That means we had a long weekend. I hope everybody had a wonderful Victoria Day weekend. Weather was here in Toronto. I mean, it was nice, but it was cold and still cold. I don't know when the heck we're going to get into that time of year where you can finally wear shorts and a t-shirt, but these are problems I'm willing to take. Lots going on in the world of news. You know, a lot of us were really hoping that when Mark Carney assumed the role of prime minister and formed government, that he would get right to letting us know how things would be different from an economic standpoint now that he was in charge. You know, let's not forget we had somebody at the head of our government for 10 years who believed that budgets balance themselves and it's important to grow the economy from the heart outward. And this was going to be a guy who was going to do things differently. He told us, like, even though a lot of his team members were the same, it was going to be different because he was different. And now he's prime minister and he says, no federal budget coming until the fall. Here's what he had to say about that.
There'll be a budget in the fall, in the short term. It's a very short parliamentary session that is coming up. The speech from the throne is on the 27th, as people know. The House is due to rise under the House's rules by the 20th of June, so it's really 3 weeks. We have some very clear priorities, which, as you know, from following those who followed the campaign, those who followed my remarks, those who followed my opening press conference, would include the federal government taking all the steps it can to help create one Canadian economy out of 13, in addition, initiatives such as the middle class tax cut. But there will be a budget in the fall.
Now, I know that a budget doesn't solve everything. It's not the end all be all. It's part of it's one thing that a government does, but it's an important thing that a government does. And we are currently, according to our prime minister, what got him elected was the narrative that we are living in the crisis of our lifetime, which is why he came into politics in the first place. That's what he said. He said he wouldn't have jumped into politics if we weren't in this crisis. And he felt he was the best person to navigate this country through this crisis. And a lot of Canadians believed him. Enough Canadians believed him that he is on the precipice of a majority government. So it's not a good look to just say, you know what? It's coming. Keep in mind, fall goes until December 20th. That's the final day of fall. So I don't think it's cynical of me to think that we might not get a budget until December, a full federal budget until December. That doesn't sit well with me. And that explanation by our prime minister feels like an excuse. Oh, well, there's, you know, the House has its own rules. Well, also, Pierre Poilievre had said on the election campaign trail that were he to form government, that MPs would get no summer vacation. They would work through the summer. And so the rules are only there because they have been adopted and accepted by the government. If the government wanted to sit through the summer, they would sit through the summer. What does it tell you about this crisis that we're living through, that the MPs are coming back for 3 weeks and then they're going, then the House won't sit until the fall? That tells me a lot about the priorities of the government. It also tells me something about this quote-unquote crisis that we're living through. Maybe it's, I mean, it's important, it's significant, but maybe it's not the crisis of our lifetime that we were led to believe. Somebody who is indeed going through crisis, and my heart goes out to him and his family, is former President Joe Biden, where he has just been diagnosed with prostate cancer. And it's not good. Not only is does he have cancer, but they found that it has spread to the bone. And look, my dad passed away just over a year ago. And watching his health fail was, it's not specific to me. And we all watch loved ones weaken and wither and pass away. So that is not specific to me. Which is why my heart goes out to his family. Absolutely. But let's not forget that the seminal book on the cognitive decline of Joe Biden, written by Jake Tapper, I think it's called Original Sin, is out today. And it documents what many believe to be a massive coordinated cover-up by a number of people in the Democratic Party to keep hidden the fact that the president simply did not have the cognitive wherewithal to be president. And and let's not forget, anybody who said as much prior to this book was tarred and feathered and weakened and disparaged. And some people are trying to figure out what the end game is. Look, I'm not the one saying this. I don't have expertise in this. But I did hear from some medical experts over the weekend, who said that there are tests. I'm only 49, but apparently at 55, it becomes standard, at least in the United States, for men to get a specific type of prostate exam, which is supposed to catch these sorts of things far earlier than what we're told was just discovered. In other words, feels very weird to me that somebody who's supposed to go through routine checkups as the vice president and the president to make sure that the president is in tip-top shape and able to carry out his duties in great health, feels weird to me that this would just pop up out of nowhere. And the fact that it is metastasized in his bones tells me he's had this for a while. It doesn't tell me. It tells these medical professionals who are saying it. So when, given the fact that there's this book that just came out that says that there was a cover-up of his cognitive decline, is it so unreasonable to think that maybe they knew about this earlier than they actually are letting us know? And if that's the case, you know, there are people who are suggesting that there was a bait and switch that was going to be done, that Joe Biden was going to become president. And then at a certain date, perhaps this date, it was going to be announced that he had prostate cancer and was going to have to step down to then allow Kamala Harris to assume the presidency. It's not. Had this book not come out, that would be probably in the realm of the conspiracy theorists and the tin hat crowd, tinfoil hat crowd. I think it's less so, given the fact that we're dealing with this book that is a bombshell that we're going to be dealing with for a very long time. Somebody who has been banging this drum for a very long time, and I think acquitting himself quite honorably on that file, is Scott Jennings of CNN. Here's what he had to say about the cover-up.
If I had a nickel for every time I had heard an anchor or a
CNN, here's what he had to say about the cover-up.
If I had a nickel for every time I had heard an anchor or a fellow commentator use the phrase "the big lie" after the 2020 election, I'd be a rich man. But I wonder what they have to say for themselves now about the lies that we were told about Joe Biden. Oh, behind closed doors, he's fine. He's riding unicycles and juggling knives and doing trigonometry blindfolded. What would they say about the enormous conspiracy that was required to cover up this impairment? What would they say about the coordinated smear campaign against anyone who dared question it? And what would they say about the clear fact that unelected people were making decisions in a constitutional republic in the name of a president who had no idea what was going on?
Okay, a couple of things. One, there have been speculation that Scott Jennings will ultimately run for Senate, the Senate seat in Kentucky. when Mitch McConnell steps down or retires or expires. He's had his own senior moments over the past little while. You'll remember the blank stares upon receiving questions in a scrum. That's happened more than once. And so, yeah, Scott Jennings, that to me sounds like somebody who's gearing up to run for something. But and there were some chuckles in what he had to say there. But let's never lose sight of the fact that the single most important job on the planet is the president of the United States. And there was a man running things or at the top who was not running things. And that is something that is there's going to someone or a number of people are going to have to answer for that. And I do hope that they ultimately do. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about a crisis that we have not talked about on this show. The exodus of young people from the province of Manitoba. That's next right here on the Ben Mulrooney Show.
Hey, hun. Did you see if last week's hail dented the shed?
No, but yesterday's hail definitely found the fence.
Well, today's hail got the car out front. At least now it matches the fence.
That is one way of looking at it.
Severe weather in Alberta is becoming an everyday part of life, and we all pay the price. In fact, last year was one of the worst ever. Canada's insurance industry is working hard to help you adapt, recover, and protect the things we love. Learn more at ibc.ca/tomorrow.
Alberta has always been good to us. Its lands have fed and nourished us. Its pioneering spirit, fueling and pushing us forward. It's a place that has what we want, what we need, what the world needs. So let's raise a glass for Alberta. From Alberta. Visit raiseaglassab.ca to support Alberta's brewers and distillers. Brought to you by AGLC and Travel Alberta.
Overnight Expedite is here to keep your packages and parcels moving. With Overnight Expedite's XPAC mailbag service, you can ship almost anywhere in Alberta with next day delivery for just $12 plus GST. No hidden fees, no hassle. From Edmonton to Medicine Hat, from Grand Prairie to Red Deer, One Transport Group are Alberta's locally owned courier service. Overnight Expedite. When time matters, they deliver. Visit shipexpedite.com today to learn more. Proudly supporting Be the Change YYC, helping end homelessness.
Spring into safety with Volvo Calgary. Right now, lease the 2025 XC60, where Scandinavian design meets advanced safety for just $749 a month for 48 months with only $3,100 down. Whether you're heading to the mountains or just running errands, drive with peace of mind in a luxury SUV built for Canadian roads. Visit Valentine Volvo in the Southwest, Volvo Cars Royal Oak in the Northwest, or volvocarscalgary.com.
Summertime is here again.
Purchase your 2025 Callaway Park season pass today. Just $69.95 plus GST per pass for a whole season of fun. That's a savings of 53%. Only until May 20th at your local Calgary co-op or online at callawaypark.com. Enjoy unlimited rides, live entertainment, CP spray and play, and so much more. Callaway Park, your family playcation destination.
Callaway Park.
This is the Ben Mulrooney Show on the Chorus Talk Network.
Now, whistle stop.
Welcome back to the Ben Mulrooney Show, and welcome to the Ben Mulrooney Show wherever you might find us. You might be listening on the Chorus Radio Network or on a streaming app like the iHeartRadio app, or you may find us in podcast form. We like to put up a bunch of content all day long on the big podcast platforms like Spotify, Apple Music, and Amazon Music. All you have to do is search Ben Mulrooney or The Ben Mulrooney Show, and there you have it. Enjoy yourselves, and thank you so much for finding us. We really do appreciate it. So I remember in the 90s, one of the hot topics that dominated the public conversation was the idea of the brain drain of Canadians moving south of the border, where the pastures were greener, where the paychecks were bigger, and where the ability to live the most successful life you possibly could, that's where you went. And there was this real fear that there would be a lost generation in Canada where the skills that we needed to grow an economy, and just as importantly, the tax base that we needed to grow the economy, would disappear. And it turns out that is not just a problem that goes north-south, But the province of Manitoba is experiencing its own brain drain, a youth exodus, and it's been going on for a significant amount of time. It's really important for us to talk about this. And the person who's highlighted it for me, and I'm very thankful for it because it's been written about in the Winnipeg Sun, is Kevin Klein. He's the president of the Winnipeg Sun, as well as a columnist and former minister of the environment for Manitoba under the conservative government. And so welcome to the show, Mr. Klein. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you very much for having me, and please call me Kevin.
All right, Kevin, I will. So, Kevin, how big of a problem is this, and how long has it been going on for?
Well, I think we've been seeing this happening since the 80s, to be quite honest, and it's been getting worse and worse. And in recently, 22 to 23, we lost over 10,000 people. Now, that is quite significant for a province our size.
Yeah.
And of course, we're gaining some of that back with immigration. We're kind of flattening out. But our young people, the people with energy, the people with innovation, the people that are going to build the province, they're not staying.
Yeah.
They're taking off.
So if you're telling me that this has been a problem since the 80s, has there been a period in that? Has there been a hiccup in there? A period sometime between the 80s and today where people have returned to the province? Because my next question is, what can be done to reverse it? Has there been a period where something was done where young Manitobans either said we're sticking around, or people from outside the province were saying we're going to move there?
Well, we have a blended family, so we have six kids. Now, four of them have moved out of the province. They have gone elsewhere.
For what reasons?
Now, they left for opportunity. Now, some time ago, the province offered the graduation tuition tax rebate, right? Okay. So young people, if they came back, they got a $25,000 tax relief. That was big. That was an opportunity for somebody to make to come back here, even if they were schooled outside of the province, come back to the province and start working. That is gone.
Yeah.
But other provinces are offering that, so they're finding reasons to leave. They're also finding better jobs. They're finding jobs in the newer industries. There's a lot of new exciting industries that we should be banging on the doors of Manitoba, the AI companies, because we have so much power. We have green energy.
Yeah.
We should be knocking on the doors of these people.
Well, just a few months ago, we were talking on this show about how Kevin O'Leary had been working with the Alberta government to build a massive AI park in northern Alberta. I don't know why. There's nothing specific about Alberta that makes it that AI parks that this size. I mean, we're talking tens of billions of dollars in investment. There's nothing specific about Alberta why AI should be built there. Why it should be the home there. You could build a hub in northern Manitoba just as easily and as effectively.
Well, I think we could build it probably much more effectively, right? We have multiple amounts of land here. We have the energy. We have the climate for it, right?
Yeah.
We have the right climate for this, but we're not doing what it takes. We're not making the sales calls. We're not banging on the doors. We're not hammering on doors down south saying, look, we have what you need. We can offer you this. We can offer you that. And I think that's what young people are seeing. And they're saying, well, I'm going to have to go elsewhere.
So
I'm going to have to take off somewhere.
And look, I mean, if we know how important keeping young Manitobans is for the province, and they're not doing it, does that speak to a larger structural problem in Manitoba? And look, I'll put the question out there, and it's a good faith question. Is there a modesty in Alberta and in Manitoba that doesn't exist elsewhere? An unwillingness to pump your own tires? Is there something about the character of being a Manitoban that makes it harder to go sell being a business coming to Manitoba?
Absolutely. Biggest problem we have, we are so afraid to talk about how good it is here.
Yeah.
And how good it can be here. I mean, the quality of life here, I'm sure you've been here, Ben.
Yeah.
Actually, I think you were here when they were doing Canadian Idol. You were there here for a little bit. I mean, the lakes we have here, the parks that we have here, we have wonderful opportunities to raise a family. Housing is affordable. Believe it or not, you can buy a house in Manitoba. So there's lots of reasons to live in Manitoba. But we're not keeping the young people. We're losing them because we're not taking that step to say, you know, let's give them the programs. Let's give them startup and innovation grants. Let's do job matching.
Yeah.
We should be doing job guarantees for doctors and nurses going through our school system here to make them want to stay here. We had this talk on one of our podcasts where I called it the Northern Exposure Method. right?
Yeah. Yes, sir. I remember that show.
In the 90s.
Yeah.
We'll pay for your schooling, but you're staying for 10 years.
Yeah.
I don't see a problem with that. Then they'll put down roots. They'll love it here. The lakes, as we talked about, let's give them reasons to stay here. But we, you're absolutely right. We have to get aggressive, and we have to brag about what we've got in Manitoba.
And Kevin, it seems ironic, or maybe he just hasn't had enough time, but you've got a young, dynamic, popular premier in Wab Kanu. Who could be the face of that. I mean, you look at him and he's very, you look at him and you compare him to, say, a Doug Ford or a Legault, and he seems, he could embody the idea of young people in the province of Manitoba. What does he say about this, what seems to be a provincial crisis?
Well, you know, we've heard him talk a lot about doing job creation to keep young people here. He wants to promote our cultural activities and such. But we're seeing a lot of talk. He's great. He has a lot of charisma.
Yep.
He's very good on TikTok. He's very good at reaching the younger generation. I'd like to see him now go to the businesses and start banging on the door saying, we need to keep our youth here. We need to do something with the tuition tax. Maybe he needs to bring that back.
Yeah,
maybe that's what he does with young people, and that's how he connects with the young people and said, here, we'll give you that graduation tuition tax back, but you stay here.
Yeah.
You stay with us, and we will make this the place you want to be forever and ever.
So you said you have a blended family, and how many did you say have left the province?
Four.
Four. And any chance that they're going to come back?
No.
No. No.
What? You know what?
Yeah, but let me reframe. What would it take to get them back?
That's a really good question. I would hope family would bring them back, but I think
guilt, family guilt.
I've tried it. It doesn't work.
Your mother keeps asking for you. She's lonely.
Yeah. If you need somebody to babysit the grandkids, you're going to have to come here.
Yeah.
But you know, we jump on the plane and we go out there. They're enjoying where they are. They have a good quality of life. They have opportunity, and that's really what it is. They have opportunity. They're proud to be where they are. They love Winnipeg. They love Manitoba. But you nailed it. We are so afraid to talk about how good we have it. It's almost like we're afraid someone will take it away.
Yeah.
But we need to brag about how great Manitoba is. Geographically, we are in the perfect position. When it comes to clean energy, we are in the perfect position. When it comes to clean water and the abundance of water, we are in the perfect position. We have a coast. You know, we have the opportunity to have a port, an ocean port, where we can ship goods to Europe. We have everything that every province needs. We're not promoting it enough to keep young people here.
Well, Kevin Klein, I think we've cracked the nut as to what the problem is, and the solution, I guess, with that ambition in mind, could take many forms. I feel optimistic that a guy like Wab Kanu could be the embodiment of that, and hopefully he'll hear this conversation as well as others I'm sure that you've been having, and come up with a plan to keep young people where they belong in the province of Manitoba, because we need every province to be strong, especially in the world that we're living in. I appreciate it, and I hope to talk to you again soon.
I appreciate the opportunity. Thank you.
All right, don't go anywhere. When we come back, we talk about the new Ministry of AI.
The time to buy a new Toyota has arrived. It's the Get In and Go event at the Giant Country Hills Toyota. Your Toyota Giant is pulling out all the stops with the best inventory, the best pricing, and the best trade-in values of the year. Take advantage of incredible interest rates as low as 0%, plus a giant selection of new Toyotas with more vehicles arriving every day. You don't want to miss the Get In and Go event on now at the Giant Country Hills Toyota.
It's Gord Gillies for Home Instead. Speaking with Debbie Franchuk, RN and co-owner of Home Instead, she says when her clients finally discover Home Instead, they tell her, the care you provide my parents is amazing. More people have to know what you do. It's no wonder why they refer Home Instead as the best kept secret. Now that you know the best kept secret, share it with your mom and dad. When your elderly loved one needs more care, choose Home Instead as your care partner. Visit homeinsteadcalgary.com.
Running a small business is tough. Now more than ever, every marketing dollar has to work harder. That's why Canadian businesses trust Constant Contact. With email, events, and social tools, you can reach more customers, drive sales, and see real results. On average, every dollar spent on email marketing returns $36. That's ROI you can count on. Even in challenging times, our all-in-one marketing platform helps businesses grow. See for yourself. Start for free today at constantcontact.ca.
Remember last summer's heat wave that had you wishing for refreshing air conditioning? Let Furnace Family by ATCO Home Services keep you cool this summer. Trust our expert techs and honest pricing to keep your home chilling when the summer is scorching. Ask about our best-selling Lennox models that offer optimal efficiency and cool, quiet comfort. Take advantage of Lennox's rebates up to $2,000 only for a limited time. You can count on Furnace Family by ATCO Home Services to do the job right and have your AC unit up and running in no time. The summer rush is coming. Don't wait. Visit FurnaceFamily.com to secure your spot today.
Hi, I'm Scott Reeb of Cupboards Express. Our fine quality may seem old-timey, but our style is not. Keeping up with the best of Milan, New York, and Japan, we manufacture over 2,000 door styles right here in Alberta, from timeless classics to the most on-trend fashions. Don't see what you want? We could probably make it. Check out our new Real Slim Shaker Door, a real standout.
A real standout.
Keeping right up to date since 1958. Cupboards Express.
This is the Ben Mulrooney Show on the Chorus Talk Network.
Welcome back to the Ben Mulrooney Show, and thank you very much for joining us. This is the time of the week that I love talking to our next guest. We're talking all about AI, but specifically AI as it intersects with the federal government. For the first time in our history, and I think this could be a good thing, Mark Carney's government is opening up a brand new ministry. And a lot of times they'll take an old ministry and repackage it with a new name. And like the Ministry of the Environment became Ministry of the Environment and Climate Change. Okay, 601. But this is a brand new ministry of artificial intelligence. And former journalist Evan Solomon will be in charge of it. And this could be groundbreaking in a lot of ways. And so here to discuss it, we're joined by Mohit Rajan. He's a meteorologist, great friend of the show. He's a consultant with thinkstart.ca. Mohit, welcome.
Ben, thanks for having me.
And so I really appreciate you being here today, because I was listening to some journalists sort of describing why this could be a very big, very big thing, because it's not going to be this is not a ministry that's intended to exist in a silo, right? It has to work across all ministries. It's about implementing AI in all walks of life, from what I gather. What do you see?
Well, specifically, it's involved with innovation is going to be the key here. Is where does Canada stand when it comes down to making innovation accelerate within the country? What does it have as the capacity to facilitate some of the change that we see on the horizon? And then also, how does government stay involved without getting too involved? And I think we both know that Canada doesn't have a great history of adopting fast enough when it comes down to technology. Oh, yeah. And so what will be interesting to see, Ben, is whether we are in a situation where this actually is just a placeholder for the bigger changes that we need to see, or if this is actually going to be leadership.
Well, this is going to be a very big test for Mark Carney. He has said that he is a different kind of liberal, that this will be a different liberal government than what we're used to over the past 10 years. And I don't think it's cynical of me to say, because I've said it before, and I say in good faith, that the previous government was addicted to bold pronouncements, big ribbon-cutting ceremonies. And then they would fall short. They wanted to be the first to say they were going to do something. And then they would just slow down or crawl and wait for somebody else to lap them. And so for them to take this stance, look, we're at a crossroads. They could do something different, and they could actually be bold and be leaders in terms of being a government that is trying to navigate an entire country through the landmines of AI to get us to a place where we are leaders on every file, or they could be the ribbon cutting kind of liberals that just build a new bureaucracy and leave it at that.
Ben, we're at an AI arms race right now in the rest of the world. We're standing by and watching the US and China daily come out with new products to talk to the rest of the world about why they are the center point for how AI innovation is going to be run across the world. And the truth is, other countries are not slowing down either. Canada, unfortunately, can't sit around and wait for us to celebrate the idea that we have one person in this specific role. And instead, we need to get private industry at the table just as quickly as we have the government interested in this, because we will be left behind behind, and instead, we'll be taken advantage of in this AI arms race. We're still a rich country full of amazing stuff, but if we don't get things in line quick, this isn't about pageantry.
So if you had the ear of Evan Solomon, the new Minister of Artificial Intelligence, and the Prime Minister, for whom AI is sort of the brass ring, what advice would you give them as they build out this ministry, and what priorities would you hope this government espouses?
Well, the biggest priority is figure out where we sit in the global landscape. You know, I just mentioned this arms race. The truth is we've had allies when it comes down to technology, and we've had some great innovation within this country. Are we fostering it, or are we just receiving this tech from the rest of the world? The second thing is we have to understand what data sovereignty means to different countries. So there are many places that we're never going to get our AI products from, or are we going to be able to ship our AI innovation technology to? And so there's rules that are changing on the global front about how we can engage with people from technology right down to bureaucracy. But the key here, Ben, in my opinion, is Canada can't stand by and be a consumer of all of this innovation. And that's what I worry about. And, you know, we've had these amazing feats in technology. We've had the godfather of AI be considered to come from Canada.
Yeah.
But we're still not the star players in this field. And so that's what I'm hoping to see in the next 5 years.
What about the idea that there's a gas pedal and there's a brake for everything, right? Especially when it comes to government policy. And I have to assume, and you know this better than I, that there are certain policies and there's certain initiatives as they relate to AI where we should just put our foot down and drive as fast as we can. And there are other places where the role of the government should probably be a brake pedal to slow things down. Are we too early in this arms race to distinguish between those two levers, or do we know where we should be careful, where we should be putting guardrails, and where we should just be letting private industry go run amok?
You know, you bring up a great point. The same tools that can help us will definitely hinder us in this process, from education right down to innovation. But I also think the risk in that, and what you're saying, is that we will lose talent.
Yeah.
You know, we're not everybody wants to make the best AI tools for the most ethically available consumer out there. You know, right now there is a situation where we're going to have brain drain within this country, and we should be worried about losing talent to other countries that are starting to invest a little bit more and rapidly. Don't get me wrong. This isn't a situation where I'm saying we're extremely behind. But what I do fear is that just placing somebody in this position might not be enough. And instead, this policy needs to be rolled out very quick, so that we understand the different parameters that even other businesses have when they're operating in this country.
But there's also immediate applications of AI tools that exist in the marketplace today that could be beneficial for military procurement, for healthcare, for bringing down interprovincial trade barriers. I'm assuming a lot of this, but I also, you know, you and I have had enough conversations where I don't think it's a leap to assume that AI could be beneficial in, I don't know, environmental assessment of natural resource projects. Like those are places where I think this new minister of AI could have immediate impact and say, we're going to change the workflow of a multi-billion dollar ministry that is going to improve outcomes and speed up results.
Yes, definitely so. But on the other side of that, then they have to be accountable to the cybersecurity side. So, for example, dairy farmers love the idea of automation and how AI can help them predict what the weather patterns will be for the best output that they could have. But also, their machines can be hijacked very easily remotely, and all of a sudden it disrupts their workflow. The government will have to step in at this point and stop and say, well, we are okay with innovation happening at this level, but we also want to be the leaders when it comes to securing our citizens from nefarious attacks.
Yeah, I'm looking at some of the stuff coming out of China. I've heard some worrying things about the World Economic Forum. And look, if you take everything that Pierre Poilievre said at his word, right? I mean, back in the election campaign that he did not win, to be fair. The Canadian government, Canadian people decided they wanted a Mark Carney government. But Pierre Poilievre said that this is not, the Liberal Party is not liberal because they're all about control. You know, the fear would be that this new ministry would be about the application of AI in order to control people online and social media and, you know, making sure that that they limit people's access to information. At what point, let's assume the worst for just a moment, and not to say it's going to happen, what should we be looking out for as freedom-loving Canadians call it, as red flags that this government might want to pursue?
Well, I think that you bring up a great point in how we are already advertised to and how people can target and data target and use our data to target us. You know, we see these swellings happening in these various niches and corners on the internet where we realize misinformation is going to continue to run rampant the quicker it is for people to create these synthetic versions of media and put it out there. There will be this natural worry that the horses have already left the barn, as they say, and how can government really pull back? And, you know, for example, can they find these tech companies if they're the victims of synthetic media used for propaganda, et cetera, et cetera? Yeah. But the truth is, in the title alone, you don't get to cover all of that. And it's not going to be one person that's going to solve for all of all these problems, Ben.
Mohit, we're going to leave it there. Thank you very much, my friend.
My pleasure. Have a great one.
More to come on the Ben Mulroney Show.
Connect with Sarah Crosby.
Online Romance Day.
I don't think anyone's going to like me off a dating app, Andy, if my husband got sucked up by aliens. I'm not going to be on the top of anyone's list unless they get to meet me, sit down, and go, okay, she can talk. Maybe she's a little funny. She's really caring. But to go on a head picture alone on an app, I don't think I'm many people's cup of tea.
Connect with Sarah Crosby. 2-6 weekday afternoons on QR Calgary. Brought to you by Verve Aspen Woods Retirement Home.
Hey folks, Paul Brandt here. Around these parts, we work hard, play hard, and we demand the best. Sometimes you need a truck that's a cut above. The Ford Super Duty. Tough enough for any job with the style and luxury you deserve. It's as powerful as it is refined, with cutting-edge features that make every drive a pleasure. In short, this ain't your everyday pickup. The Ford Super Duty. Drive the finest truck Alberta has to offer today at your Alberta Ford dealer. And tell them PB sent ya.
The Knee Clinic is Alberta's only private knee clinic, and they'll have your knee issue assessed within days. Call 403-457-KNEE or visit kneeclinic.ca.
Rock chip? Give it the kiss of death. Cal Alta Autoglass will repair that rock chip same day, and they'll treat you like family. But what if you need a new windshield? Come on. Cal Alta, it's clear. They're going to treat you with respect. You see, they win Consumer Choice Awards every year. You know it's true because you heard it from me, the Glass Father. And I go through a lot of windshields.
Cal Alta Auto Glass.
The class of auto glass.
Toast to Stampede season at Stampede Cellar Uncorked. Featuring the champion wine, Glass of Auto Glass. Toast to Stampede season at Stampede Cellar Uncorked. Featuring the champion wines from the Stampede Cellar Showdown International Wine Competition and local culinary offerings from Alberta's top restaurants, Stampede Cellar Uncorked has something to suit every palate and preference, from bold reds to crisp whites and more. Join us May 31st to sip, swirl, and savor wines and vote for best bites of the night. For more information and tickets, visit calgarystampede.com/uncorked.
Fairplay Wild Bird Center is your one-stop shop for all things with wings. Did you know with warmer weather here, more birds are arriving, and they're creating greater competition for food? Having a variety of feeders and the correct food types will help attract different species of birds. Fairplay's Wild Bird Center has a vast array of feeders, plus a great selection of feed types available in a few sizes, including our bulk-by-the-pound bins. Visit Fairplay Wild Bird Center, 2604 Kensington Road Northwest, or at fairplaywildbird.com.
This is the Ben Mulroney Show.
On the Chorus Talk Network.
Welcome back to the Ben Mulroney Show. Thank you so much. Today is Tuesday. We weren't here yesterday, so we got a short week, so let's make it count. And look, I think I'm glad that almost every time we call, he's able to join us, because the Russia-Ukraine conflict is it's an ever-evolving shell game, if you will. Look over here, then look over here. And nobody has his eye on the prize better than our next guest. So please welcome back to the show Adam Szivo, National Post columnist, as well as the executive director for the Center for Responsible Drug Policy. Adam, welcome back. Thanks so much for joining us.
It's a pleasure to be on the show. Thanks for having me again.
So where do we find ourselves today? Last time we talked, there was hope that Donald Trump was going to be able to get these two guys together. There was supposed to be a meeting in Turkey that did not happen. Then Donald Trump said, well, of course, Putin wasn't going to show up in Turkey to meet Zelensky because I wasn't there. Well, so where do we find ourselves today?
Well, we see ourselves in a quagmire where Russia is proposing peace negotiations that it obviously isn't taking seriously. These are bad faith initiatives that are being launched by Russia to essentially obfuscate and delay any Western-led sanctions. And there's been essentially this continuous process over the course of this entire month where Russia has been trying to prevent the EU from having, you know, further sanctions. It all goes back to the Victory Day parade celebration back in May 9th. It's a whole thing.
Yeah. Well, what happened to that meeting that Putin never showed up for?
Well, good. So here's what happened. So May 9th, you know, was Victory Day. It's the annual celebration of the defeat of Nazi Germany. Putin proposed a unilateral three-day ceasefire that coincided with the parade. Ukraine obviously declined that because that only benefited one side, Russia, and they counter-proposed a unconditional 30-day ceasefire instead, which Russia then said no to. So the day after Victory Day, on May 10th, the leaders of the Coalition of the Willing, so that's the leaders of Poland, Germany, France, and the UK, came to Ukraine, came to Kyiv, and they jointly announced with Zelensky that they were going to impose a 30-day ceasefire starting from May 12th. And if Putin didn't play along with that, then they would impose serious sanctions.
Yeah.
So Putin didn't seem really interested in doing the 30-day ceasefire because he's always maintained that peace negotiations should come first and then a ceasefire. And essentially what that does is that allows him to push his military advantages to extract the most concessions from Kyiv while possible during the peace process.
Right.
Meanwhile, the West has said that we have to have a ceasefire before we have talks. So Putin ignored this 30-day ceasefire idea and counter-proposed talks in Istanbul and continued to bomb Ukraine. The West didn't seem like it was going to listen. But then Trump went on Truth Social and said that these talks have to happen. So the Coalition of the Willing canceled its sanctions.
Okay.
Then Zelensky changed the game. He said that, okay, I'm going to be at these talks myself, and I challenged Putin to come one-on-one. That created a dilemma for Putin because Putin essentially has said for several years that Zelensky is illegitimate. So if he came to these talks and met Zelensky one-on-one, that would legitimize his arch nemesis. So he just didn't show up. And the talks obviously collapsed right away because Russia proposed things that were ridiculous. For example, they wanted Ukraine to cede even more territory and fully give up four provinces that are currently only partially occupied.
So I think Donald Trump was under the impression that once he became president, he was going to be able to solve this in a matter of days. And that didn't happen. And you and I have talked about that before as to why it wasn't going to happen. But it does feel to me like this. The fact that the new Pope has indicated that he is willing to hold mediation of this war at the Vatican, to me, that seems like a wild card that I didn't see coming. What impact could that have on this dynamic?
To be honest, I think the impact will be superficial. So obviously, Pope Leo was much more pro-Ukrainian than his predecessor. He has explicitly called out Russian imperialism. He has consistently made positive references to Ukraine. His Twitter feed from before he became Pope obviously shows that he's not a huge fan of the Trump administration. So one would imagine that if there were any negotiations that were to be mediated by the Vatican, Ukraine would be on friendly territory. But at the same time, the Vatican is a spiritual force, not a military one. And so though these negotiations, you know, with the help of the Vatican could provide some symbolic victories and some nice photo ops for Kyiv, that's not enough to pressure Putin into making real concessions. And Russia continues to maintain that it can't have peace without full control of these partially occupied Ukrainian provinces and without addressing the root causes of the war, which essentially means the installation of a pro-Moscow government in Ukraine.
Were any of those things discussed on the two-hour phone call between Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin?
I mean, we don't know. We don't know the exact content of the calls, but essentially, it seems like Trump is a naive fool in this context. He just doesn't understand how this game is played. He's being constantly outplayed. And so Trump, by announcing these peace talks without mandating any ceasefire come before this, he's essentially given Putin what he wants, right? Which is another quagmire,
yeah,
where you have these hollow peace talks preventing the implementation of sanctions while Putin makes incremental advancements on the ground without any real pushback.
Adam, what are the intelligence experts within Donald Trump's administration telling him? Like, why isn't he getting the memo that Vladimir Putin is playing him, or that Vladimir Putin, is an expert at misinformation and misdirection, and you're not supposed to take him at his word? What information is he getting from the people he's supposed to be trusting with the intelligence if he keeps coming back and thinking that on the other side of that phone is a good faith operator in Vladimir Putin?
Well, the problem is that the White House, the Trump administration right now, is composed of sycophants who have no subject matter expertise, or people who actually know what they're talking about, but are too scared to stand up for their principles and too scared to tell Trump the truth. And you can see right now in the administration that there are two main factions when it comes to Ukraine's policy. So the first faction, which is led by Keith Kellogg, who is the special ambassador to Ukraine, as well as Rubio, Secretary of State, they're very pro-Ukrainian, and they see the situation with clear eyes. On the other hand, you have this guy, I forgot his first name, last name Witkoff, though. So, you know, Steve Witkoff, there we go. Anyways, so this guy has no diplomatic background, is essentially just some real estate mogul who's been pulled in to solve the Middle East and solve the conflict with Ukraine. And he has no understanding of this stuff. He barely seems to even know what some of these provinces, where they are. And so I think that when you have Trump relying on his old friend Witkoff, who has no clue what's happening, then you have a president who is misinformed and doesn't understand the opponent that he's grappling with.
Well, Adam Szabo, again, always appreciate you giving us a snapshot of where things are today. I'm sure we'll call you next week because things will change over the course of the next few days. But we appreciate you, my friend. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
All right, before we take a break, I do want to play this for you. Mark Carney was asked a pretty simple question about whether he wants housing prices to go down. Let's take a listen to how his brain was operating on this one.
No, there. We did hear from Gregor Robertson, though. He said no. So where do you stand on that?
Well, it's not a yes-no question. It's not a yes-no question.
It was for him.
Well, I'm answering the questions right now, if I can. Because it's a question which relates to different time horizons, and it relates to different houses. So we are cutting GST on new homes. Okay. So that affects the price of new homes. That affects the cost, is a better way to put it, the all-in cost for people. It's up to $50,000 savings on the average home price, a little more than that, actually, if you look at the greater Toronto area. So there's significant savings for people. Measures to reduce development charges over the course of the next 5 years, cut those development charges in half. Those lower the cost for those homes that are built over the course of the next 5 years. Those savings will be passed on to people. The overall level of housing prices, though, is not so that amount of activity is not enough necessarily to affect the overall level of house price. It does affect those types of homes and people who can buy those types of homes.
Mark Carney is new, and I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt to get to a certain place where he's got a legacy that we can judge. But sometimes you can be too smart for your own good. Just say you want housing costs to go down, especially for certain people, and we're going to do what we can to ensure that. I don't think that's that hard to say.
I hope you're having an amazing weekend. Thank you for spending a part of it with me. I'm Ben Mulrooney, and this has been the Ben Mulrooney Show Weekend Edition.
Hi, Andrew Schultz here. It's spring, or as I call it, Jiffy season, which means there's so much to do around my home. As if I don't have enough on my plate, my washing machine decided to quit mid-cycle. I opened the Jiffy app, and within seconds, I was paired with Mike, who showed up that day and had it fixed in no time. And when it comes to my spring to-do list, Jiffy is my go-to. Download the Jiffy app or sign up at JiffyOnDemand.com with the code QR25 for $25 off your first job. Jiffy, Canada's number one home maintenance app.
Gord Gillies here for Len T. Wong and Associates. When you're looking to buy, with Len and your team, you start the search with confidence. Right from the beginning, he'll prioritize your needs. Maybe you're looking to downsize in retirement, or maybe your heart's on a starter home that's not out in the boonies. An experienced agent like Len will understand those needs, ensuring you find the home of your dreams. Len T. Wong and Associates from Greater Property Group, the city you love and the agents you trust. Call or text Len at 403-606-8888.
Shoppers Foundation for Women's Health is challenging us all to ask, how many women have we lost because of a late diagnosis? How many women have been overlooked because so little research funding goes to women's health? How many women have felt unseen because they can't access proper care? Maybe even you. Health inequities are harming women. It's why we're working to improve access to equitable and inclusive care. It's time to make women's health visible. Get to know the facts at shoppersfoundation.ca.
Hi, I'm Donna Friesen from Global National. Life moves fast these days, and we want to make it even easier for you to get the news you need. That's why you can now get Global National every day as a podcast. The biggest stories of the day with analysis from award-winning global news journalists. New episodes drop every day, so take this as your personal invitation to join us on the Global National podcast. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and wherever you find your favorite podcasts.
QR Calgary is 770 CHQR AM, a Corus Entertainment radio station.
This is Global News. I'm Joshua Azizi. Russia and Ukraine have swapped more prisoners hours after a massive attack on Kyiv.
Russia and Ukraine exchanged hundreds more prisoners Saturday. It's part of a major swap that amounted to a moment of cooperation and otherwise failed efforts to reach a ceasefire. Both countries say each side brought home 307 more soldiers. This comes a day after each released a total of 390 combatants and civilians. The development also coming after Ukraine's capital came under a large-scale Russian drone and missile attack that left at least 15 people injured, according to local officials. Explosions and anti-aircraft fire were heard throughout Kyiv as many sought shelter in subway stations. I'm Julie Walker.
Israel is being accused of forcing Palestinians to act as human shields in Gaza and the West Bank.
Palestinians say that they are being used by Israeli soldiers as human shields. Right here behind me in the Jenin refugee camp is a place where Palestinians have said that they have been used by Israeli soldiers. They have said that they have had to go ahead of the soldiers into apartments. One woman went into at least six different apartments carrying a drone that the soldiers gave her with a camera on it to make sure that it was all clear before the soldiers went in after her.